destructor is a parasitic mite on honeybees. Even with the colony collapse disorder phenomenon, it is still the most important problem that bees face. It's been around for 20 years. It's been around for 20 years, and still beekeepers have no efficient control of it, and nor do they have any kind of standard sampling plan in order to detect their infestation levels and make educated treatment decisions. The goal of my research is to give them a standard sampling plan. So, Varroa destructor feeds on the hemolymph of honeybees, both the adults and pupae, causing a number of different symptoms, including reduced body weight, a shortened lifespan, a suppressed immune system, and they also transmit a number of different viruses. If the colony is not treated, then the colony will die in a few years. Despite the importance of this pest, there is still no standard sampling method. There are a number of different methods created, including looking at the pupa, monitoring natural mite fall, and mechanically dislodging mites. However, these do not necessarily translate into the same levels of infestation, and they have varying degrees of accuracy. And if beekeepers use one of these sampling methods, then they generally use it for presence-absence instead of quantification. And many beekeepers simply treat by the calendar and just irrespective of mite level. So beekeepers need a tool that they will use in order to detect their infestation levels and make educated treatment decisions. So the goal of my research is to give them this plan in order so they can sample either a colony or a group of colonies, an apiary, in order to detect their levels. So in order to do this, I need to find the distribution of mites both within a colony and among colonies within an apiary, because then I'll know where the mites are congregating and where I need to sample in order to capture that variation. So beekeepers keep their colonies in boxes. So the boxes are stacked upon one another, and in the boxes are a vertically hanging comb, which contain honey, pollen, and brood, which is the developing bees, stages, eggs through pupae. So the mites on the bees may be randomly distributed within a colony, or they may be clumped, as in the brood area. And then the variation within an apiary. So the mites on the bees, some colonies may have, all the colonies either may have very similar levels of infestation, or some of the colonies may have higher loads, mite loads, as in these two. So what I did to find the distribution of the mites, I sampled a total of 30 apiaries across 4 states, California, Texas, North Dakota, and Minnesota. And in each of these apiaries, I sampled 30 colonies. So for each of these colonies, I have data on the date, the beekeeper, the state, which colony it was, the yard, and the direction of the entrance. For each of these colonies, I sampled each of the combs. So what I did is I recorded both comb location within the box, and I recorded what was on the comb, so the comb content, whether it be honey, pollen, brood, or empty. I also sampled 30 bees per comb in tubes filled with 20 mils of alcohol. So I brought these combs back to the lab, or tubes back to the lab, and I counted the number of bees and I counted the number of mites in order to get the infestation level per comb. And this is what I used to do my statistics. So I looked at a nested analysis of variance to see where the mites were congregating, mites on the bees were congregating within a colony. And so far, it looks as though they are randomly distributed within the colony. However, I need to look at more levels of analyses in order to confirm this. So I also looked at what the largest source of variation within an apiary is, and it does appear that some colonies have higher mite loads than others. So the second step I took was to look at how many colonies to sample per apiary and how many bees to sample per colony. So I used a resampling for validation of sampling plans developed by Narhanio and Hutchison, and this RVSP uses two statistical methods, Taylor's power law and Green's plan. Taylor's power law generates two parameters. One of these tells the spatial distribution of mites, which it indicated that the mites were indeed clumping in colonies, so this reconfirms my nested analysis of variance. And then these two parameters were plugged into Green's law along with a set precision of 0.25 to generate a sample size, and it appears that the best estimation is given by sampling 11 colonies out of the apiary and 200 bees per colony. So far I've only talked about sampling mites on the adult bees. However, because the mice reproduce on the pupae, which are kept in cells on the comb with a wax capping over them, this is a very important source of the mites as well. So I've sampled 185 colonies for the brood to look at the brood infestation levels. So I compare that to the infestation levels on adult bees and create a brood correction factor that will be used in conjunction with my information on adult bees in order to create a sampling device. So this is a prototype of my sampling device. So each of these funnels is a set volume which corresponds to a number of bees. So if a colony has no brood, then the mites on adults are representative of the entire colony infestation. So the 200 bee sample will be sufficient for sampling. However, if there is brood in the colony, the samples that beekeepers take should include the mites in the brood. So the volume they take of bees needs to be bigger. And I will figure out the volume of this using the brood correction factor. And this should give the beekeepers a standard tool that they can go out into the apiary and sample either one colony or multiple colonies at the same time and come up with an infestation level that they can compare to other beekeepers across the world. So finally, I want to publish sampling guidelines that beekeepers can use in order to make treatment decisions, educated treatment decisions. So I want to create guidelines and opposed to thresholds, because the level a beekeeper treats at will depend on their own personal operation and personal tolerance level. So a beekeeper that moves their colonies around for pollination will have a lower tolerance level to the mite presence, because their bees will be exposed to higher horizontal transmission of the mites, as opposed to a beekeeper who has their colonies in a relatively isolated area and keeps them in one location year-round. So presently, the virologist director has the upper hand in the relationship between bees, mites, and beekeepers. And because the mites are such a significant pest to beekeepers, the beekeepers really need a tool to bring the mites back into some kind of balance. All right, thank you.
How long does it take to do this sampling technique in a large apiary?
So the question was how long it takes to do the sampling technique in an apiary. Well, it takes at least a full day and a half. It depends how many of the boxes the beekeepers have on their colonies. So it takes at least a day and a half if there's two boxes, and it'll take about a day if there's one box. Yes?
Any economic threshold laws take into account the value of the crop? So when the crop is worth more and the economic threshold changes, is this going to be a part of your product?
So the question was whether or not the economic threshold would be a part of my product. No. So because economic thresholds take into account the value of the product, it's really hard. I found it really hard at least to kind of come up with some kind of value. Also, the threshold assumes that it would be the same for all the beekeepers, and I don't believe that it is, so. So the question is, because the mite population varies within a season, Will I be using some kind of seasonal recommendation? Yes, in a way, because so we'll have those different volumes that beekeepers should sample with the for the sampling gizmo. So if they use the different volumes, then that kind of makes it seasonal, because if they're just starting out rearing brood or they're ending, then they'll have a different volume than if they're in the really high brood season in the midsummer. So. Thank you.